So, Diesel, it's hour number three. You are the brains and the brawn or behind this show, especially on Twitter, Diesel on Radio, Sports Talk's most decent producer. You care to share what South Dakota State Jackrabbit Stadium is named?
It's called Dykehouse Stadium.
Dykehouse Stadium, man. That's pretty hardcore. But it's actually, we were looking at it during the break. It's cool to watch how it evolved into what it's become, a gorgeous 20,000 seat stadium up there.
So. It is, and I was looking at the distance between South Dakota State and North Dakota State. That's less than a 3-hour drive. That's going to be a raucous atmosphere, and I'm curious to know what
straight through an Indian reservation.
Yeah, it goes straight. You could go one of two ways. You can go straight through it, and that's the more direct route. 2.5, 2:45, and then if you want to go the long way around, it adds an extra hour.
Well, that's now what we're down to because it's FCS semifinals on Friday and Saturday. Bowl games begin on Saturday. That means Army-Navy was this past weekend. And, Stephen, congratulations on the win. Army wins the game, but I got to be honest, Navy won the uniform war, and, of course, I'd much rather win the game.
Oh, no, I would, too. I got to admit, I actually kind of liked their getup they had on, too.
Yeah, it was a little bit classic. I don't know, man. It felt like your quarterback that got hurt in the first quarter that came back at the end of the game. He's what, 5'8", 5'9"?
Yep.
You know what? Don't take this the wrong way because I love that game, but he was so short with the all-black uniform, he almost looked like Rick Moranis back in the day in the Star Wars takeoff.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Darth Helmet. There.
Yeah, Darth Helmet.
No, I tell you, what a great weekend, what a great game. So happy, 10-2, three wins against Navy. We haven't lost to a service academy in 5 games now. It's an awesome feeling, special time for Army football. I'll tell you, though, the only bad part of the weekend was on Sunday when they announced that Jay Bateman got picked up to go be the defensive coordinator at UNC. But I guess that's what happens when you're the only team that holds Oklahoma under 30 points all season.
Yeah, and Stephen, let me ask you, because you know that to me was one of the games I go back and look at for two reasons why maybe Kyler doesn't win the Heisman Trophy. Number one, Oklahoma's defense couldn't get Army off the field, all right? But number two, Kyler Murray couldn't keep Oklahoma's offense on the field that particular game. So, I don't know. Kyler deserved it. Being an Alabama guy, I'm glad that they actually and Kyler actually won the Heisman Trophy because that ought to make Alabama's defense a little ticked off.
I'll tell you, I'd have given it to Tua, too. I think there's a little bit of Alabama fatigue against everybody or amongst everybody right now, which
sure.
is what I think bit him. I will say one other thing. I know we've been talking all day. Everybody's been talking about these guys sitting out the bowl games and everything. And this, I'll admit, this is a bit of a hot take with some Army fans. But I remember watching Army and Navy play before they had these rises like they have. And part of the beauty was the fact that at the end of that game, those seniors take off the uniform for a more important uniform to put on the following year. And it's the last game they'll ever play. I kind of think it'd be neat if seniors at the service academies or at Army and Navy sat out the bowl game, let the new guys get some reps and play. And part of the reason I feel that way is because when you beat Navy, there is no feeling, no bowl game, even if it was the Rose Bowl, it's not going to feel better than beating Navy. And if you lose to Navy, no win is going to take away that sting if it's your senior year. I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, that could be interesting. Of course, you're always progressing toward the next one. Here's the deal. Those guys, you've been in the mess hall and everything else all year. At least make sure that they're part of the team on the game. You know what I mean? But you're right. That's why, you know, I had two people ask me this weekend, why does sing second? Why is that so important? And Diesel, I explained to him at the end of the Army-Navy game, you know, the team that loses goes down in front of their student body and they play their school song. And the team that wins stands behind them out of respect. And then they flip sides of the field to the winning, and the team that lost stands behind out of respect. And that's what we need more of that in this world. Do you know what I mean? That's why seeing second means so much more in the Army-Navy game. And Steven's probably correct. I mean, the one thing that you don't get is bowl swag if you don't go to the bowl game. And we're going to get into who gets the best bowl swag here in a moment because it's my last few days on the air with Diesel till 2019, you know what I mean, more or less. And but Diesel, let me ask your opinion. Will Greer announced this weekend that he is sitting out West Virginia's bowl game to concentrate on the upcoming NFL draft. I understand Deebo Samuel's move. You know, Deebo Samuel from Chapman High School, he has undergone several injuries during his South Carolina career. I understand making the move of not playing in your bowl game to get prepared for the NFL draft. But when both of them, this isn't a Deebo Samuel thing with me, and then we're going to get into the question you asked. When both Will Greer and Deebo Samuel accept a bid to the Senior Bowl, does that not kind of nullify a little bit of the original decision process? Because so many times this is about injury. You know what I mean? You're playing. Listen, I get the Belt Bowl is a glorified exhibition game, correct? Basically, any of the bowl games that's not a college football playoff semifinal is a glorified exhibition game. But I maintain you got a better chance of getting injured in the Senior Bowl than you do in the Belt Bowl, because you're playing on a team in which you hadn't been with for 4 or 5 days and not everybody's going 100%. That's when people get injured. Now, everybody's been giving me, but it's all about the practice reps during the week with the NFL scouts and the coaching staff. I get it. But my point is, if it's about avoiding injury, there's a greater chance to get hurt in the Senior Bowl than it is in your final bowl game.
True. I mean, you can get injured walking down the street. The only thing that's going to change the decision is, and this may not change it at all, so I may be just talking here, is these guys 20 years from now, when their NFL careers are over, if you hear them say, man, I wish I'd played one more time with my team. I loved those guys, and I went back to the reunion, and they looked at me kind of funny.
Or one guy, you know, one guy's 25 years down the road, and of course, if your bank account's got multiple zeros on the end of it,
you got a lot of reasons not to care.
You're not going to give a flip, all right? But there's going to be that one guy when you show up for the 20th or 25th reunion of last year's bowl game win versus Michigan, or Will Greer's whatever you got. Oh, yeah, I remember when you decided to sit out our bowl game. And that, you know, again, if you got the money, I just thought it sent a mixed message, okay? I'm not begrudging any of these players the opportunity to do what's best for them. But if you're going to sit out an exhibition to go play in another exhibition, it felt like it was kind of a weird comment. And that, I don't have to like it. I'm fuddy. I'm duddy. I'm 50 years old. I get it. Football is changing in front of our eyes. But Diesel, what are you going to think about it if it's your team and you're starting right linebacker? You're playing, you're number two Utah, and you're playing number three North Carolina. And North Carolina's starting weak side linebacker says, you know what, I'm not going to play in these next two football games to go concentrate on my NFL career. That's when things are going to change in this, because you know what? That was your commitment to the team, was to get it to the championship and be number one. Can you look yourself in the mirror and say you're number one if you walk out on your team before a semifinal game?
Well, nobody wants to be treated as a means to an end, and that's what a lot of these players are treating their football teams as, their college teams as a means to an end. This is this team and my 3.99 years of effort in putting into this team was a means to an end. All of this was my way of getting into the NFL. Screw you guys. I'm going to take my ball and go play somewhere else.
Well, listen, Deebo, first of all, go watch Richmond's interview on richtakeonsports.com with Deebo. Listen, the kid gave his all for South Carolina since coming out of Chapman. And I understand he's battled some injuries. So I completely understand why he is doing this. You know what I mean? And by the way, I think he also got screwed today, and we'll get into that before we're out of here, on the All-American team. He didn't even sniff third team, all-purpose kick return or anything else. And to me, that's a shot. That's a slap in the face to Deebo Samuel. But then Will Greer made the announcement, and he's doing the same thing. and I don't have to like it. You know what I mean? I can understand it. I don't understand. I can't even fathom having a conversation, Diesel, where you're talking about potentially millions of dollars on the line. You know what? We work in radio. We don't think along those lines. You know what I mean? That's a conversation that we're more likely to watch on the remake of Dallas than we are to ever have in our lifetime. You know what I mean? So I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. It's not part of my thought process. But I don't have to like, oh, I'm going to skip out on my team's bowl game, but I'm going to go play in the Senior Bowl. And it's going to happen more frequently. Why? Because bowl game wins can be the jump off to an exciting spring football practice and a spring forward to the next year. Also, you get a bowl win, you get a ring. You know what I mean? That's something that's going to last you the rest of your life or until you decide that you can't afford to keep it anymore. Or the simple fact that your coach may get a raise out of it. You know what I mean? A lot of coaches get bonuses for winning bowl games. So there's usually, even though it's a glorified exhibition game, there are usually other things on the line as well.
Just curious, do players who don't play in the bowl game get a bowl championship ring?
You would think so, because it wouldn't it be part of the season in which they played and anybody on that roster would be? Do they get – here's what I would have done if I was
Debo. Will Debo get a Belk Bowl ring if he
– I would hope so, because they wouldn't be there without him. But here's what I wish Debo would have done. How about this? Play the first two series of the game, stay on the sideline in uniform, and be there – to cheer on your teammates, get in their eyes. Hey, man, here's what I see. Here's what I see going on, blah, blah, blah. You could have played two series, checked out, done your thing, had the Carolina fans wave goodbye to you, thank you, and that's exactly, pretty much exactly what you're doing, which is skipping your bowl game and then playing in the Senior Bowl. Now, I find Will Grier, who doesn't, you know, the only time Will Grier skipped out on college, it was his own fault for doing performance-enhancing drugs and things of that nature. I find Will Grier's decision to be completely different than Debo's. Why? Because Debo has overcome a couple of injuries. So Will Grier was the one that really kind of got to me, because Dana Holgorsen took a chance on him, Diesel. Will Grier was a little bit of a hot-button topic, you know what I mean, after he was let go from the University of Florida saying, you're not playing here again. Dana Holgorsen took a chance on him. They're 8-3. A ninth win would be big for West Virginia football. They've got one of the better bowl matchups, not in the New Year's Six down in Orlando. Will Grier took a chance on you and leaving Florida. I would have played in my final game back in the state of Florida just to honor my coach. But that's the way I think and not the way everybody else does. We'll take your opinions at 844-GSP-ESPN. Diesel, you mentioned it. Do you get a bowl ring if you're sitting out the bowl? Well, when we come back, I'm going to let you be captain of the team. Do you get your bowl swag as well? You can follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. But if you're not following Super 70 Sports on Twitter, you're not doing it right. Because before we go to Gator Neil, there's a picture up. How much trouble would this cause today in Major League Baseball? This happened on June 27th, sometime in the 1970s, at the Oakland A's at the Kansas City Royals game. It was called Hot Pants Day. Said this first event in the history of baseball, ladies in hot pants free. June 27th, A's versus Kansas City, fashion show and two orchestras as well. Gator Neil, if we had a hot pants day in 2018, somebody'd freak out.
If we had a what, Sturge? I didn't understand that word.
Hot pants. I guess that's like girls in short shorts. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. But that was in the
70s. Yeah, you'd see me in short shorts out there just because.
Yeah, that was in the
70s. I'm going to be honest, Sturge. I don't want to sound like a 43-year-old pervert, but I don't mind. The lesser that women have on, if they look good, the better for me. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm married just like you, so the less, the better. I wanted to chime in on what you're talking about the kids staying out of bowls. I'm going to respect your opinion, and I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. First of all, I heard what you said about Horvath and took a chance on Will Grier. I disagree with that. I think he took a chance on his program because he knew if he could get Will Grier, that he would be way better than anything they had on the roster, anything that they had coming in. So I don't think he necessarily went out and said, okay, well, I'm going to bring in this kid who is average or below average, and I'm going to give him a chance because he deserves a second chance. I think he said to himself, if we bring him in, we have a chance to win the Big 12, and I think that's what he did. So,
yeah, but you still had to give – somebody was going to give Will Grier a second chance, and, of course, West Virginia was one of them. And I completely understand what you're saying there, but, you know, sometimes that payback, I'm a little different.
I understand what you're saying, too, and that's why I said I respect your opinion. As far as the kids holding out, to me it comes down to – putting it in simple terms, which is if you or I were getting out of college and we had never really made any money before, you know, we had worked side jobs here or there, you know, in high school and then maybe probably not even in college because you're not really allowed to make so much money or whatnot. You know, if you're in that situation and someone comes up to you and says, hey, do this for me, there's a chance that you're going to somehow, I don't know, whatever your profession may be, but you're not going to be able to go to that profession because you might get injured or something might happen to you, and there's no advantages to doing it. Would you still be willing to do it?
Yeah, so if it's a computer job, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody here, but you could end up with carpal tunnel syndrome, and that's going to affect your computer. Yes, yes. And listen, let me also, Gator Neil, say, I realize the landscape of the sport is shifting in front of me because I can't fathom having a conversation with a father or an agent or even a girlfriend about you know, millions of dollars on the line. I get it. I can't. So this is probably a little bit of the fuddy and duddy coming out of me as things change before my eyes.
You know, and the funny thing is we can all equate this to the fact that these contracts in NFL, these contracts for coaches, these contracts for players have gotten so ridiculous now. Back in the day, you didn't have to worry about this because you're talking about not taking a chance of losing this much money. You're talking millions now for every player almost after you've been in the league for so long. And the one time that I will agree with you, though, is the guys that are going to play, let's say, the Final Four teams,
right,
who actually have something to play for.
Yeah, I was going to ask you your
opinion.
If those
guys were to sit out, I would completely lose all my respect for them because then it comes down to, you know, you have something to play for, not just with your team, because at the end of the day, there are some teammates that are in the locker room that care about winning the Peach Bowl. And there's some that really just don't, because it's just you're not winning anything, really. You're just winning a bowl game. Well, like you said, pretty much a scrimmage, an exhibition game. It's a preseason game for the NFL. That's what it equates to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing and you have a chance to win the national championship and you sit out for this reason, then I have to completely lose my respect. Otherwise, I'm going to take the other side, and I'm just looking at it from a perspective like you and I, as far as if it was a normal person and they had a chance to lose their career, all for something that really doesn't matter, would they do it? And I would have to say 99.9% of people would not. So appreciate it, Sturge.
Very fair. I appreciate that as well. Now, if my guy skips out on me in a semifinal or a final game of the college football playoff, Twitter will be a barren wasteland. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to be popping off at everybody. But Diesel, you realize at some point in time, there's going to be an agent and there's going to be a father. At some point in time, you know, whether it's Tua's dad, you know, Tua's dad's prepared him for stardom in the NFL his entire life. Go, you're not doing it. That's when I think the circumstances change because, you know what, that's when I think the NFL can literally look at you and go, you're putting, there's no I in team and you're putting yourself ahead of the team. But there's really only, there's what, 40-something bowl games out here over the course of the next 2.5-3 weeks yet. Only three of them are non-exhibition games, and that's your two semifinals. And that, of course, is going to be your championship game as well. A lot of the other ones are just – I mean, they are what they are. They're exhibition games. And listen, I don't think there's any wrong or right when it comes to it, but we want to hear Shay's opinion on it. Shay, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Shay, hope you're doing well.
Hey, buddy. Okay, first time caller. I just want to make a quick comment on these kids, these young men in college, especially, you know, the ones with the, you know, potential to the NFL. What is there not an option like where they could take an insurance policy out on their potential NFL earnings for that stretch of period? And that would make seem like that would make everyone happy. I'll hang up and listen to your opinion.
Thank you, Shay. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to get back in whenever. Now, the insurance policies are out there, Diesel, but what it is based off of where the NFL thinks your draft stock's going to be. And, of course, if you're Deebo Samuel, what are you thinking right now? Maybe second round? I'm not sure, late into the first round, if a general manager falls in love with you, but I think second round's realistic, all right? You would only be insured based off of that. You know what I mean? You're not going to get – it doesn't matter how much you're willing to go out there and pay, you're not going to get an insurance policy based off the fact that you might be a top three pick. So that's all you're ever going to get. Marcus Lattimore would never, ever gotten in his insurance policy what he would have made if he was healthy in an NFL career. However, that was a nicer balloon than having nothing. You know what I mean? So, the risk is you can go out there in the spring game. You know what I mean? And all it takes is one guy will fall in sideways while you're not paying attention, and it can go down. And like I said, I want to quantify it one more time. I was hammered and hammered and hammered away at growing up. It was all about the team. It's all about the team. The team is the only thing that's important. You give up your identity for the team. It's not that way anymore in sport. Look at the mess that's going on with the Chicago Bulls. Guess what? We'll tell you about that. It's not always about the team, but you also can't let the inmates run the asylum as well. We'll take your opinions at 844-GSP-ESPN, because if you suck, your coach should have you out there practicing, and I don't care. You want to hold on to your job, I'd look at you and go, then you start doing what I'm asking to, or we'll find a place somewhere else for you. The Chicago Bulls, they are the Auburn Tigers of the NBA. By that, we mean Days of Our Lives. So, Diesel, Joe Shad, who used to be with ESPN that now covers the Miami Dolphins, just has an article up on the Palm Beach Post. You can go to palmbeachpost.com. And it says, quote, "Gronk is on the field. We got this," said Ryan Tannehill, who collapsed to the field as time expired. Talking about him being out there, you know, to play defensive back in a Hail Mary. How many catches do you think Rob Gronkowski, after he reads this, and it will be made back to him, how many catches do you think Gronkowski has the next time the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins get together?
All the catches.
I'm guessing 20. You know what I mean? I'm guessing it's going to – hey, because – you know, there's a guy that doesn't like hearing that. Gronk is on the field. We got this. That's why I say it wasn't the – it was a bad decision by the Patriots and – their head coach and their coaching staff, and the fact that there was not for somebody that's got to have a shoulder operation next month, there was nil and a snowball's chance in hell of Ryan Tannehill throwing a Hail Mary anywhere close to the goal line. But Diesel, you know, we're talking about those dadgum kids these days. You ready for a get off my lawn statement here, a get off my lawn segment? You know, those dadgum kids today, they're just not near as respectful. We've been talking if one, God forbid, would ever give up a spot, you know, playing in the college football playoff semifinals to go protect his draft status. But do you feel sorry for anybody that's on a NBA roster when it comes to a new coach coming in over the course of 1 week? Because, yeah, the Chicago Bulls fired Fred Hoiberg last weekend, I guess, after a 5-19 start. So chances are your team sucks in basketball when you're off to a 5-19 start at the NBA level. Is that a fair assumption there? So Jim Boylan was hired to replace Fred Hoiberg is host of the is coach of the Bulls, and to say that he had a tough first week might be an understatement, akin to saying Michael Jordan was a pretty good role player during his career with the Bulls. So a report comes out today from Yahoo Sports that Chicago Bulls basketball players contacted the NBA Players Association yesterday to complain about new head coach Jim Boylan. One specific complaint cited, according to the report, is that Boylan scheduled a practice for Sunday after the Bulls had played back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday nights, a departure from the accepted NBA norms. All right, notice that word there. The accepted NBA norms, which means if you play on Friday and Saturday, we expect to have Sunday off. All right, that's what's expected. It's not written into the collective bargaining agreement. The Chicago Tribune reports that players openly debated skipping that practice before opting to attend and instead hold a players-only meeting, followed by a meeting with the coaches. Boylan then denied the players had called for the meetings and said they were his idea. You know what the Bulls players are butthurt about right now, Diesel? Earlier this week, they suffered a 56-point loss to the Boston Celtics. 56-point loss to the Boston Celtics. Players are angry that their coach embarrassed them by not once but twice substituting all five players out at one time. You're professionals. You shouldn't get beat by anybody in the NBA by 56 points. If it takes substituting an entire five to get your butt sitting on the bench and paying attention and maybe caring a little bit, then so be it. But where is the mind of the players today when they are more hurt and complaining and not wanting to do things because you were substituted out as an entire five because of lack of effort in a 56-point loss? You know what I'd do? I'd start cutting people. They don't care about playing basketball. They don't care about the Chicago Bulls. And they obviously don't care about getting better because you know what? After losing two games on Friday and Saturday, maybe you should have had your butt at practice on Sunday, and maybe it should have been a pretty lengthy practice on top of it, because that's the other thing. You already said their other complaint was he held two lengthy practices earlier in the week. Made players do some extra wind sprints and push-ups because he said the reason that they're 5-19 is half their team is out of shape. Who's right, who's wrong here? Because I'm telling you, this is going to be the downfall of professional sports, the NBA, and everybody else when you can't control the players in the league. You know it's a league, you know it's a player's game now. When players make more than the coaches, they are going to scoff at anybody suggesting, I'm in the NBA, I don't need to get better, I've got game.
And trust me, the fans will always, always support the players, because the players are the stars. The coaches are not the stars. There will be a handful of old fuddy-duddies.
Popovich.
Mark Sturgis probably being one of them.
Popovich.
Who will say, yeah, the coaches, they're the ones in control, and the players should have respect for the coaches. And they should. You are right. But the mass majority, the fans, they don't care what the coach has to say. They don't care what the owner has to say. They don't care what the board has to say. They care what LeBron has to say. They care what Kevin Durant has to say.
And
those guys are always right in their opinion.
And maybe it will be the downfall of the league, because you know what? You played sports growing up. If your coach determined y'all were out of shape and that's the reason you're 5-19 and told you to do some extra wind sprints and all, what would you be doing?
I'd be doing extra wind sprints.
Yep, and you wouldn't be talking back, complaining to the principal and this and that.
You know
and
what
other.
This makes me think of? This makes me think of the movie Major League when Roger Dorn goes and gets his contract. He says, you see here, coach, it says in my contract that I don't have to do any extra calisthenics that I don't deem necessary.
And what did he do? He grabbed the contract, ripped it up, threw it down on the ground, and started peeing on it. That's what he thought about the contract.
And then when Roger Dorn wanted to get better, he actually started doing all the extra work.
You can't fix this team, can you? It's obviously not about wanting to win. It's obviously not about wanting to get better because you're 5-19. You have an old coach that was fired, a new one. You know what? The new coach was brought in to change things up because there's a reason that you're 5-19. But if you're not going to show up for practice and you're going to complain, the crux of the matter is you're embarrassed. You were embarrassed that your entire five got substituted out during a 56-point loss to Boston next week. You know what I would tell you as a Chicago Bulls team, not an individual player? Go take a long look in the mirror and decide that you want to be competitive, and maybe you won't be substituted out five people at a time. The most embarrassing part of that, you're a pro basketball team. You let another pro basketball team that has – that's good, but still has some issues, beat you by 56 points. The problem is you, and it's not the head coach, and this is the problem with sport at the professional level. You know what? Someone's got to be boss at some point, and you can't let the Chicago Bulls players run this asylum. Why? Because you suck. There's a reason that you fired your head coach at 5-19. All right, we'll come back. Close up shop here on this Monday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. All right, Diesel, final segment of this Monday, and you know you're the smartest guy on this show by far, even though Alabama, the AL, comes in alphabetical order above the AP of app, but who are the Imagine Dragons?
They're an alt-rock band.
All right.
And famous for the song Radioactive.
Wait, that very disturbing song, Radioactive, that's like different, and it's done in a waltz beat of 2-4 versus what most music should be done in, which is 4-4, so you can tap your feet along to it. That song, Radioactive?
That's the one.
Well, they are going to perform at halftime of the College Football Playoff National Championship telecast. All right? Okay. Did you get that? The Imagine Dragons will perform at halftime of the College Football Playoff National Championship telecast.
You mean they're going to record it a couple days in advance and pantomime on the field?
No, they are going to be in a different location in Northern California than the game is being played itself in Santa Clara, but they're still going to be the feature artists for the halftime show.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's like
I'd rather them do that. I'd rather them do a real live performance than record it and do what the NFL does at halftime. It's all recorded. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers showed that a couple years ago when his bass wasn't even plugged in.
Yeah, that was like nobody picked that up either. That was like his middle finger to this entire deal was, I'm not even plugging in my bass. So that'd be interesting. I mean, dude, I'm going to pay all the money to go to Santa Clara. To go see my team. But I can't even see Imagine Dragons at halftime, man. What are you telling? Dude, you got to knock another $100 off that ticket. You know what I mean? It's just not worth as much as it was. All right. What do you think Heisman Trophy winners are all time, Diesel? All time. What are Heisman Trophy winners' one-loss record when facing the runner-up in the bowl game? All right, so it's happened less than 10 times, okay, that the winner of the Heisman Trophy actually went on and faced the runner-up in the bowl game. Do you know what the winner's record is, the Heisman Trophy winner's record is, his team's record is against the opponent in those games?
Well, it's not good. I can promise you that.
It's 2-4, and that's why I said, ooh, Tua. That's why I said I think the Bama defense will be a little bit happy that Tua Tagovailoa was not your 2018 winner, because now they get motivated to go up against Kyler Murray. And again, Kyler, listen, a lot of respect. He handled himself with class up there. And, you know, like I said, I can take my shots at the Big 12 and the fact that they hadn't played a defensive football game in about an eight-year period now. But you can't question the class. And he handled himself so well in the moment. And I just want to give him credit, because it has to be a very, very difficult situation. So, you know, the Heisman Trophy, if you haven't seen, Clemson has two of the five favorites for next year, and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and of course, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, Dwayne Haskins, Will Greer, Gardner Minshew was your top five this year around, with Travis Etienne, the Clemson running back, coming in seven. And, you know, what do you think, Diesel, you know, had Travis Etienne, where do you think he would have finished in the mix? Is you look at like 1,200 yards were gained by the other tailbacks when it comes to Clemson football this year. Think about if his 1,550 yards had another 650 yards on it. That would have been a 2,000-yard rushing performance. I mean, really, when you go add up what Tamian Feaster, Lynn J. Dixon, and Adam Choice did, that's over 1,000 yards. Assuming Travis Etienne got the bulk of those carries and was up around 2,000 yards, where do you think that would have finished him in the mix? I don't think it would have gotten him an invite, but I think it would have put him in fourth. I just think we're too, at times, infatuated with calling the Heisman Trophy the best player in college football, but it's the best offensive player on maybe the best offensive team. You know what I mean? I don't think that's necessarily the case. I'm going to tell you this much. I think Phillip Rivers is in contention for this year's NFL MVP, and he should be, because he's got nine children and he's 46 years old.
So let me ask you this, Sturge. You talk about loving the eye test, and you're telling me the eye test doesn't work when it comes to picking a Heisman winner. Why not let advanced analytics choose the Heisman Trophy winner? Because then you can qualify it and say, all right, well, Tua only played essentially half the season. This is his efficiency at all of these statistical categories. And then you can also look at defensive players and what they've accomplished. I'm not saying that would necessarily put him in the front runner to running to win it, but you could say the same thing. A number of plays that Travis Etienne was in on, and weigh the plays that he touches the ball versus the plays that go in his direction that he helped block for. I don't know. Advanced analytics seems to be the only way to actually pick a fair winner. Otherwise, it's just going to be whoever's got the flashiest stats.
Well, number one, you got to now start taking into account the college football playoff semifinal games, because those are the three biggest games of the year, and I don't think you can have an MVP. But that's not
I don't
saying,
think that necessarily is going to change the voting all that all much, right, because then it's just going to solidify it onto one of those teams that makes the playoff.
And there's a lot of truth in that, because you won't see an 8-3 George Rogers ever. You know, South Carolina was 8-3 the year George Rogers won the Heisman Trophy. That's not happening again.
Yeah. Right? What if you get a guy that, you know, passes for 10,000 yards in a season?
Then he should be in it.
And then his team stinks.
He should still be good enough to be in that Final Four after the college football playoff. Now, I get where you're going, but I will say this much.
You're right. Good teams, good players on great teams tend to have their teams in a position to at least get close to the playoff.
Right. When it comes to analytics, you can use it to a certain extent, because unless everybody was playing the exact same schedule, then you start taking in opponents.
Point of advanced analytics is it determines what you should have done against a team, and then compared to what you actually did against that team.
Again, I am a huge believer that you can make numbers work forever for whatever you want to, and you know, whatever your argument is. And listen, Kyler, you couldn't go wrong with any of those three players. Don't get me wrong, but at some point, I am going to at least, if I could, you know, raise one of my eyebrows when it's a Big 12 player, because you know it's just a league that plays no defense. Now we'll see if Oklahoma can take the challenge when it comes to the Orange Bowl down in Miami and try to play some defense against Alabama. We shall see, but I know this much. Kyler Murray they'll have to outscore Alabama. Ooh, Sturge, they're the smartest thing you've ever said. All right, so here's the deal. Commissioner Diesel overnight gets to decide if you're sitting out your bowl game, You have eligibility left. You're getting ready for the draft. You're sitting out your bowl game. Should you get your bowl swag? That's your decision that you have to just really stew on overnight. Can you do that? Can you accept the challenge of Straight Up with Sturge to make that decision on the show tomorrow?
I can tell you right now, no. If you skip out on your team, if you skip out on the bowl, you skip out on the bowl swag.
Well, we'll pretend.
And I know that's not going to change too many people's decisions.
Right. Well, yeah. We'll pretend that question was never asked, and we'll ask you tomorrow, because we got to take a look at what some of the best bowl swag is out there. This is the one time of the year football players can legally be paid things. So, of course, some are better than others, but we'll let Diesel make that decision when all is said and done. And, of course, we'll talk with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Wrapping up, he was in Atlanta for the Home Depot Award Show. Of course, a bunch of different things that we're going to get into. And I want to ask, I might have to get Mike Buddy on the show, how in the world can Furman be ranked number 23 in the AP, have gone to Villanova, knocked off the defending national champions, and be ranked behind them in the AP Top 25? Crazy things all over the place. But in the meantime, enjoyed it. Thanks to our callers, Gator Nil, everybody else. And guess what? We'll do it again at 4 p.m. tomorrow for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.